Tonight on Life on the Rock, we have our Christmas special with Father Patrick and Father Leonard, and much more.
Welcome to Life on the Rock for today's Friars Christmas special. And today I'm joined by Father Patrick, Father Leonard, and Father Mark. So welcome. This is really a great time of the year for us to be here. Mm-hmm. As we're in Advent, we're preparing for Christmas. It's one of my favorite times of the season, just because there is something to be very excited about, to rejoice about. It's always a hopeful time. I think it just brings a lot of families, communities together. And I think we've all seen that throughout our lives. But for me in particular, it's a very special time in our friary, our community, whenever we really get to celebrate Christmas. But I wanted to ask, just to kind of kick things off, about maybe these Christmas traditions, maybe that we have in our community or from back home, from your own upbringing. But was there anything that draws you, anything that you look forward to during this Christmas season? Father Patrick?
Yeah, you know, one of the things that I do always look forward to is what we have here, the Advent wreath. Mm-hmm. And just like it shows the anticipation that we have. Right. You know, like there's more fire each week. We light another candle, like our hearts should be burning, right, you know, with a greater anticipation for the Lord's coming. I always look forward to that each and every year. And it's a reminder, too, of our need to be vigilant.
Right.
You know, that certainly is one thing. I also love and I always look forward to the 24th after the morning mass, when the chapel is transformed, we put out the creche to get ready for the midnight mass.
That's a big operation.
I always look forward to that. And I think maybe on a personal level, one thing I also really look forward to is just Advent is the beginning of the new year. I always look forward to like making a new spiritual resolution.
Right,
like a new year's in the church, the church's calendar. So it's always a good time to begin anew.
Yeah. You know? I think even for me, I'm always surprised how fast the year kind of rolls by.
Oh, yeah.
You think about the whole liturgical season.
It gets worse as you get older.
It
always makes me reflect too, just in one sense, maybe the shortness of life is just how fast things can roll by so quickly. But it's just, again, like you mentioned earlier, even the decoration of the chapel during that time, it's a deep clean that we do.
Yeah.
It's pretty thorough. But it's just something to be very, I think, joyful about, and just putting that hard work into it. And just even on Christmas Day, just the blessing of the creche is always, I think, a very special time. What about you, Father Lynn?
Well, you know, we have very powerful, beautiful liturgies. You know, we take our time, do it with a lot of love. It's always very solemn. But like you said, one of my favorite things is doing the blessing of the Christmas creche, because then, you know, we are celebrating in the way of St. Francis. Mm-hmm. And as we know about St. Francis, he had the first Christmas creche in Greccio, you know, many years ago, over 800 years ago. And so that's what we do. That's what we remember, what we commemorate. And it's just a very special time to, you know, be blessed by God in that, and to feel the love of the infant Savior, Jesus. Yeah.
That's right. And Father Mark?
Me too. I like, in the Northern Hemisphere, you know, it's winter. So I like, we had an unbearably hot summer this summer. Mm-hmm. And it's just nice, the stillness of winter, and even the leaves being off the trees. There's just a quiet, a stillness, and that helps me to enter into Christmas more. But the music, there's a grace to the music, I think. I mean, it just, the beauty of the Christmas season, I guess, has inspired so many. Just the beauty of the mystery of Christmas has inspired so many artists. And I always like to remind people during these seasons, I mean, these liturgical seasons that we have, there's a special grace with each one of them, right? So Advent, we're preparing for Christmas. There's a grace in that preparation to prepare our hearts. Yeah. And so I feel like there's an anointing, there's a certain power I can feel. I know we're talking about Christmas, but also Advent. I experienced this the other day. I was with the sister servants preaching, and the readings they choose, you know, a lot of them in the early part here is about conversion. You know, we had the centurion and his faith, is humble faith and belief in the power of Christ, that Jesus just isn't a holy man praying. He's the Son of God.
Right.
And that kind of call to the fundamentals, the basics of our faith, I love that. I just, to me, the liturgy just feels anointed right now. Yeah.
I think, too, one thing that always strikes me is we always see the generosity of people. Many people are very generous to our community during this time. They give us quite a bit of food, quite a bit of desserts.
A lot of food.
A lot of food.
Yeah, it's like, hey, it's too much sometimes. They're only men. They keep feeding and feeding.
I do.
Here come the cookies and the pies and the cakes.
But I think it shows the great love that the people have for faith and everything. But it, in one sense, it can be overwhelming. But I think it just shows the goodness of what's in people's hearts, too. So I think that's just kind of a cool effect or a cool thing to see. Now, Father Patrick, in our community, we also do a St. Maximilian Kolbe Novena in honor of the Immaculate Conception. Really, we begin it around November 30th and working all the way up to December 8th. But if somebody wants to really deepen their devotion to Our Lady, during maybe this time of Advent, how can St. Maximilian teach us?
Well, you know, St. Maximilian Kolbe is known. In fact, when it was Pope Paul VI beatified him, he said you can't really separate the name of Maximilian Kolbe from the Immaculate Virgin Mary, because he was known to have such a great love and devotion to her. So one of the things that he teaches us really is that the Blessed Mother is a gift to us. That's one of the things that's been noted, that, you know, her spouse is the Holy Spirit, and how the Lord promised them both to us before his passion and death and before he ascended into heaven. At the Last Supper, he promised to send the Consoler, the Holy Spirit. And then from the cross, he gave us his mother, you know, behold your mother. So she really is a gift to us as our mother. And we're called to grow in our devotion to her. We know that grace comes to us. Our God himself chose to come to us through her, and he just still desires to give. He gives us grace through her intercession. So it benefits us greatly to grow in our devotion to her, to grow in our love for her. And as it's been attributed to him, St. Maximilian was saying that, you know, it's not possible to love Mary more than Jesus did. Right. You know, we're simply imitating him when we love her, when we ask her to pray for us. She's always there, and we can do it in very simple ways too, by just simply asking for her help throughout the day. You know, if we're in a time of trial or temptation, Mary, please help me. Praying the Holy Rosary. There's the sacramentals, like wearing the miraculous medal, making the novena in honor of Our Lady's Immaculate Conception. But just trying to develop that relationship with her of trust, you know, and trusting that she's our Blessed Mother. She loves us, and she's always there to draw us closer to her Son.
I think you said something that really just struck me now, is that you kind of place her as a gift to us. And I think sometimes we don't always reflect on that, maybe that treasure. But I think that's a theme that you enjoy quite a bit with Our Lady, that she's the mother of the church, that God, you know, gives her to us because we're her children, you know. And sometimes we have to be reawakened to that reality of how close we are to Our Lady, because she does love us.
I think St. John Vianney said, too, that on the cross, after having given everything he could give, he's crucified naked on the cross, he gives us his mother, right? The one last thing he has, right? He even entrusts his mother to us. And that's, I think, too, part of the beauty of the season. I mean, the creche scene, the Madonna and child, you know, the shepherds and everything. That is, you know, see a mother and a child, that is just, that stops even the secular world. Pause at that. So we have a heavenly mother that's greater than the love of all the mothers of the world combined, right, for us, given to us. So she adds to the beauty of the season.
She really does. And just to kind of add to that, Father Leonard, a few years back, maybe several years now, you and I had both made a pilgrimage to the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe, Mexico City, and we were down there during the Solemnity of the Immaculate Conception, then on the Feast or Memorial of St. Juan Diego. And it was packed. We saw a lot of people. It was a great experience. But just recently, you actually went back there, actually on the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. Yeah. And what was that experience like for you? Maybe was there a new spiritual renewal?
And what was the parking like?
Yeah.
12 million people,
that's a lot.
As we're all saying here, is that in Guadalupe, this is a great expression of the love of the Blessed Virgin Mother Mary. You know, she comes to Juan Diego and she embraces him like a mother and a child, and that is profoundly experienced when you go there, and you cannot help but be struck by the image of Our Lady, and it's the image of holiness, of somebody mm-hmm. who's in the likeness of Jesus Christ, and she's conveying that love to you and inviting you to it, into a deeper love, deeper relationship with their son, Jesus. And it just kind of leaves you in awe. Mm-hmm. And that was my first experience when we went. Yeah. And that was about 8 years ago, by the way. And
it's
gone by quick. It was an adventure that, for another time. But anyway, this last time I went, it was sort of a pilgrimage, and it was also a time of working, too, mm-hmm. as we produced some programs on Our Lady of Guadalupe, Father Joseph and I. And the same thing, you know, what really struck me too is the people mm-hmm. and their devotion. I mean, people come from hundreds of miles away, thousands of miles away across Mexico, and do whatever they can by any means, literally,
right.
you know,
mm-hmm.
going by tractor, trailer, and train, and car, and walking, all to celebrate Our Lady, Our Mother, her love for Jesus, her love for us, and on the feast day of Our Lady of Guadalupe. And it's amazing, you know, it's amazing. It's a powerful experience. You know, you need to go there.
And one of the things that struck me whenever we had gone there mm-hmm. 8 years ago was whenever we were watching just people make the journey, the mm-hmm. pilgrimage to the shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe. But when we were there on the site, it was very international.
Yeah,
there were people from all over just the world. And in mm-hmm. one sense, it kind of reminded me of World Youth Day, where you kind of see this universal church.
That's right.
And that's where, you know, I think Our Lady, mm-hmm. she's the patron of the universal church to all peoples, mm-hmm. regardless of who you are. And I think, you know, there's this image that, you know, God is trying to bring us in, mm-hmm. into himself.
Yeah.
And I think that's such a beautiful mm-hmm. truth that our faith conveys, but it's so easy to miss that. Mm-hmm. You know, in just the secular world.
Oh, yeah.
It's easy to get kind of lost and strayed from all mm-hmm. that.
And I think, you know, that sense of belonging, right, that she, I think, you know, the documents talk about, you know, she's the mother of all peoples, you know, everybody, mm-hmm. all of humanity. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. and that gathering into the church that we all belong to Christ. It's like, that's like a first step.
Yeah.
You know, to our faith, even before our faith, you know, to have the sense that we belong. So we come to believe and then get our life in order in line with the gospel. But I think she gives us that sense of belonging, you know, in such a deep way.
And that's so true. I think probably in our own lives, we've experienced where we did feel that presence of belonging. Mm-hmm. And like you said, our faith really does build on that.
Yeah.
But we have to go to a break, but whenever we come back, let's get more into the Christmas spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Father Mark, the season of Advent, in one sense, is really ordered to really calling people back to God, you know, putting them on the right path mm-hmm. to reconcile that that relationship that sometimes is broken and fractured. But I think there's this call to holiness. And really, for all priests or even religious, what are maybe some of those steps that we can take to really renew our growth in walking in that way of growing in virtue and prayer?
Yeah, I think, Advent, the Catechism talks about, you know, this is trying to awaken this expectancy in us, you know, for the mm-hmm. coming, for the arrival, the Advent of Christ. So we're focusing on his presence, we're trying to cultivate that desire in our hearts for him. And for me as a priest, you know, in the Christmas season and Advent, as I mentioned before, I think there's a grace to it, a grace to enter into this ancient expectancy and the immediate preparation, but that the liturgy, you know, I like just to pay attention to the readings, mm-hmm. you know, and even the prayers, you know, there's a beautiful phrase in some of the Advent closing prayers. It says, we walk amid passing things. We walk amid passing things. It's so poetic, you know, that, you know, don't get caught up in all this stuff. Jesus is coming, and he's coming in a poor, stable, right? Dirty with farm mm-hmm. animals. Mm-hmm. So he's gonna. He also wants to enter into our hearts,
right. mm-hmm.
which is not always pure, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So sometimes we could be. We want to welcome that, you know, because we need him to purify our hearts
right.
and not be afraid of him. Yeah. And I think that's the great grace of Christmas, that Jesus comes as gentle as a child. And the message, Benedict writes about this beautifully, that a child invites our love. That's what he wants. Mm. You know, that's what he wants. And so as a priest, yeah, looking at the readings, trying to be more prayerful myself, trying to enter into the silence of the season, and just slow down and focus on Christ.
Right. Mm-hmm. And again, there's also a stillness too. Things do at times, in one way or another, can slow down during this time. Now on the other end, it can become very busy,
right.
maybe in a secular
yeah,
sense.
Yeah.
But really, I think in the religious sense, we're supposed to draw ourselves to Christ, who ultimately yeah. is drawing us yeah. to himself by his grace. Yeah. He has spoken before about Christ coming, and we speak about the historical coming of Christ coming to us in the flesh, born in a manger. And then we speak of his coming at the end of time, mm-hmm. you know, whenever he comes to judge the living and the dead. But there's also this kind of in-between coming where he's coming to us mystically, spiritually, really to us in the Holy Eucharist, which is the source and summit of our faith as a Catholic. And maybe during this time of Advent, how can we as a faithful, how do we really cultivate that devotion and love to our Lord in the most blessed sacrament?
I think, well, really, the Eucharist is the greatest gift, right? Like, mm-hmm. I remember hearing, we learned in seminary, we'd hear often that, you know, out of the sacraments, baptism is the most necessary, but the greatest is the Holy Eucharist. Mm-hmm. It's our God himself coming to us. And we just really, like you said, how do we grow in that devotion, making time for him? You know, we're just talking about Father Mark saying that our Lord coming to us, he desires to come to us, to purify us. But we also need to make room for him. Mm-hmm. That's one of the verses in Luke's gospel that always jumps out at me whenever my eyes come across it, is there was no room or no place for them in the inn. That always hits me. Like mm-hmm. I can't fail to like read that without that jumping out at me. And like the way we have that constant, it's a constant call to make room, to clear any obstacles in our lives. Cause it's so easy to be that we become overcrowded, like that inn was overcrowded, that, but we need to clear space to make time. And even practically speaking, how about, you know, what we could do is like schedule time for mm-hmm. the Lord. Like, mm-hmm. okay, this is my commitment. I'm going to meet with the Lord in the chapel if I'm able to get there. You know, that I can spend time with the Lord and allow him to speak to me.
Yeah. Now I think our faith is about starting over, you know, just mm-hmm. beginning again.
Yep.
But really, I think this is a good time even to seek out, you know, the sacrament of reconciliation, of penance. Maybe if we've been far away from the church or we never think about God or pray, but really that's a healing time. It's a sacrament of healing.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things, you know, there's bodily healing, but we also need that spiritual healing as well. And we have to be nourished by the Lord.
Yeah. Well, that's what happens is when we come to the sacrament of penance, as you know, the church teaches, it's also a sacrament of healing, but here is the mercy of the Lord in action. It's an encounter with the love of Jesus here, you know, and there is where we experience the Lord's love in such a way where he sees that we sin, but yet more so, he wants to forgive us and repair us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it shows that he doesn't give up on us.
Right.
And that he ultimately wants us to raise us up.
Mm-hmm.
No, and so it's a beautiful sacrament, a beautiful time to come here and come to confession, you know, ask the Lord for, of course, his forgiveness, pardon, but also for healing. You know, that's what we need in these days. And that's a healing from the effects of sin, the wounds of sin,
right.
or the wounds caused to us, you know.
And I think in my own life, just kind of to touch on that, and mm-hmm. even something that Father Mark said earlier, you know, I'd read somewhere is that, you know, God sometimes allows us, you know, to fall into mm-hmm. sin to draw us closer to himself.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was such a powerful message
yeah.
because we're not perfect. Mm-hmm. We're not good half of the time.
Right.
You know, we need, you know, but there's this God. God loves us
mm-hmm.
in such an immense way
yeah.
that we really can't even comprehend it
that's right.
half of the time.
That's right.
You know, because we can easily just look at our faults or sins or imperfections.
Mm-hmm.
or brokenness,
yeah.
and just say, you know, I'm just not, you know, fit in or mm-hmm. I don't belong. Mm-hmm. But that's not really how God sees us.
Mm. You know, he sees us in the image of his son.
Yeah. And hopefully, in our falls, we can grow in humility.
That's right.
And I think Christmas is definitely that season of God humbles himself to become a child.
Right? And so that's what really converted St. Francis, too, is that the incarnation, Jesus coming as a child, does all he can to save us.
That's the only thing he asked us to learn from him, too, to be meek and humble of heart. Right. Yeah. I think it was St. Augustine who had said that I think he was commenting on that Romans 8:28, that in all things God works for good, even in sin. No, because as Father Mark said, that's what St. Augustine commented on, that like when he permits us to fall at times, it is an opportunity for us to grow in humility. Mm-hmm. We realize I'm not in control. I need God's grace. I can't do it on my own. I need a Savior.
True. So we hear a lot more confessions. In this season, it's a beautiful thing.
Well, that is a beautiful thing. And
especially the days coming up, you know, it's about 4 or 5 days. Lord, we've been in the confession for a while, but it's powerful, you know, the Lord takes over.
And that speaks of a longing that I think is just innate in the human heart, that we are made for God, that we are just ordered to Him because we're created by Him. Mm. Maybe in your own words, during this Advent season, what is a holy longing? What does that mean to you?
A holy longing, you know, it's just longing for more of God, more of His love, because the Lord, He's always giving, and there's always more with Him. You know, He's infinite, He's eternal, and I mean, the Lord is just so great, marvelous, magnificent, glorious, that our entire eternity is going to be on knowing His love and knowing it more deeper. And so, these things here in the world, they'll pass away, but the Lord's love is eternal and forever, and there's always more. And so this is longing we want to have for this more, and not so much to receive more, and also to give more like Him.
And maybe to just kind of cap off, but what have you been most thankful for in this past year?
I'm grateful for, our vocations to this community, for our friars. We've had some vocations the last 2 years.
Right,
we got a new novice, a new postulant. So we ask the Lord to continue to send us vocations. My own sister, my youngest sister, just entered a novitiate of the Poor Clares, Perpetual Adoration, this past month or two. So a lot to be, I'm very grateful for that. It's very encouraging. And we pray that the Lord continues to send us, vocations.
We pray that, just young men and women will be open to that call to, serve in the priesthood or the religious life. Father Mark, what about you?
Grateful for those things, God's providence over us. And, part of that message of longing too, I'm grateful, that beautiful quote from Isaiah 43, I've redeemed you, O Israel, you are mine. I think that cultivates the longing. I thank God for it. We talk about being made in the image and likeness of God. Well, that's our identity. That He tells us, you are mine. Yeah. So I'd like to tell our viewers that, Christmas can be a trying time. Expectations might be high, might not deliver. So people struggle a lot but to realize this basic message, you are mine, because God becomes flesh. He reaches out for us, becoming one of us. That extent, He's telling us that we are His.
And Father Leonard, where can we find more about the Franciscan Missionaries of the Eternal Word?
First of all, you can go to FranciscanMissionaries.com. There you will, of course, find many articles, videos, information about the community, the rule of St. Francis, many things there. Also, you can find us on social media, on Instagram at Franciscan Missionaries, on YouTube, Franciscan Missionaries of the Eternal Word, and also on Facebook, Franciscan Missionaries of Eternal Word. We're also on X, we're on TikTok, and there's a lot of content to help you grow in your faith and your love for God, in your prayer life, and even there is some entertainment there as well.
Well, Father Patrick, Father Leonard, and Father Mark, thank you for being on Life on the Rock, and thank you for tuning in to our Christmas special here on Life on the Rock with the Friars. And Father Leonard, can you lead us out with a blessing?
Lord God Almighty, we thank you, Lord, for our lives and for the love you give us. And God, we pray that you bless our Christmas and Christmas season with a deeper love of you, Lord, and a deeper experience in your love at this time. We ask that you bless our families, that you draw us all closer to you. And may Almighty God bless you all, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you and God bless.